1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. The presidential history books have been rewritten.
I'm Tom Foti. With two impeachments asked, President Donald Trump made history while still in office. Now, says legal analyst Lori Levinson,
Donald Trump is now facing federal charges in Florida, state charges in New York. Both of them involve criminal accusations.
Which, as through his many investigations and lawsuits, Trump denies.
I'm an innocent man. I did nothing wrong. And we will fight this out just like we've been fighting for 7 years. It would be wonderful if we could devote our full time to making America great again.
For now, Trump is scheduled to make the trip to the Miami courthouse on Tuesday.
Lawmakers on both sides reacting. Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy called it a dark day for the country and promised to hold President Biden accountable. Democratic Congressman Jerry Connolly tweeted, "No one is above the law." People in 15 states and Washington, D.C. are still seeing smoky skies and breathing in unhealthy air. CBS's Bradley Blackburn in New York.
A large part of the U.S. suffered under smoky skies for another day. Alerts extended from the Northeast to as far south as Knoxville, Tennessee. The situation improved somewhat in New York, which saw some of its worst air quality ever on Wednesday. It remained at far from healthy levels.
The Belmont Stakes is supposed to take place Saturday, and for now the race is still on. But New York Governor Kathy Hochul said the third and final jewel of the 2023 Triple Crown Series could be canceled if the air quality index there exceeds 200. Do you feel like you're always being asked to tip everyone for everything? Correspondent Carter Evans on what's being called tipflation.
Asking for tips at the register runs the risk of alienating customers, but businesses that totally eliminate tips usually have to charge more on menu prices. And the research shows that when restaurants replace tipping with higher menu prices, their online ratings usually go down.
While life-saving fentanyl strips are still illegal in many states, our Jim Crisula tells us.
At least 20 states have decriminalized fentanyl testing strips, which can help people who use drugs avoid exposure to the highly potent synthetic opioid that's ravaging the U.S. with overdose deaths. The strips are still technically illegal in some states under drug paraphernalia laws decades old.
Do you have trouble sleeping at night? If you sleep less than 5 hours, you are three times more likely to have a stroke than those who regularly get 7 hours of shut-eye. But according to a new CDC study, getting even more than 7 hours isn't good either. 9 hours of sleep was linked with a twofold increase in stroke. This is CBS News.
Hiring is a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Wesley is a truck driver.
I drive a truck, and I love what I do.
A truck driver with IRS troubles.
They told me I owed them $43,000.
It got really bad.
Quite a few letters in the mail. They were talking about wage garnishment coming after my house, my car. Yeah, they don't play around. I seriously thought that I was going to lose everything.
One sleepless night, Wesley finally made a call to Optima Tax Relief at 2 a.m.
Kind of figured I'd get a machine, but I didn't. I actually got to talk to an actual person in the middle of the night.
He found just what he was looking for.
Oh, they were great people. You need a team of people that know what they're doing. Optima Tax. They know what they're doing.
Optima Tax Relief came through with flying colors.
I saved an incredible amount of money. Happy don't even come close. I was absolutely overjoyed.
Take Wesley's advice.
If you're in any kind of trouble with the IRS, call Optima Tax Relief. Don't trust anybody else.
Call Optima for a free consultation. Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hey, Dad. Your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad. Your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey. Why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you.
You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin Rapids' own Cranberry Blossom Festival is back with fun for the whole family. Join us June 15th through the 18th for family fun events including Cinema Under the Stars, live music, arts, crafts, raffles, and contests, a parade Sunday at noon followed by the Firefighters Duck Derby and the Wisconsin Rapids Aqua Skiers, carnival rides and attractions all 4 days. Mark your calendar Thursday, June 15th through Sunday, June 18th. You'll be very glad you did. For a complete event schedule, visit www.blossomfest.com or facebook.com/blossomfest.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kristen.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers.
Today we're here with Suzanne White from The Caregiver Warrior and author of a new book called Self-Care for Caregivers. On her website, she states, "I believe caregivers are warriors, fearless, courageous, and passionate about protecting those they care for." What a great title for your company. What a great title for your book. And it's clear you're going to have some really great insights to share with us today. So welcome, Suzanne. Could you introduce yourself a little bit and give us some perspective on your personal background as a caregiver?
I will indeed. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to share my story and hopefully some insights that I have for everybody. I came to caregiving like most of us. Rather quickly, my World War II hero bombardier pilot dad had to be taken off an airplane because they were flying my parents down to Florida for the holidays. And he was so exhausted, so sick on the plane, they had to take him out in a wheelchair.
Oh, wow.
Second time he was carried off a plane, yeah, in his life. So he had caregiver burnout. He was had walking pneumonia. He was starting to have some heart issues, and it was because my mom was showing signs of early dementia. And they had been working together as a team to hide it from us. So, as you know, sometimes they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was trying to compensate so much that he just got really tired and sick. So, we all kind of got together, and I said to my dad, Pops, you need help. Can I help you? And he said, yes, really fast. Yes. I was like, okay. And there we were. We were off and running. Being a perfectionist and a control freak, type A personality, mm-hmm. I thought I had it all covered.
Easy to say, right?
Yes.
So that's your personal background.
Yes.
And it appears that writing and speaking are your main avenues on how you support caregivers that you work with. Can you tell us about a little bit more what called you to do that work?
Yes, I absolutely. And I kind of think, the universe sort of pushed me in a direction. I would often talk to caregivers because I did something really smart in the beginning, which I suggest everybody does. I got a tribe around me.
Okay.
A tribe of caregivers around me. I was lucky. I was blessed. You know, I found a lot of caregivers that I could talk to, and I took advantage of that. And the thing everybody kept saying was, oh my God, they don't tell you this. Like, right. There's just so much they don't tell you, you know? So I thought, well, and I agreed because, like, I wasn't reading anything. Thank God I had them, you know? So I said, you know what? I'm gonna tell people about this, you know? And, you know, I've been a singer-songwriter. I wrote lyrics. I've dabbled in writing. And I just sort of kind of kept notes. And kept a journal, and, you know, just before I knew it, I figured, you know, I'll do a blog, and, you know, just sort of built up. And the next thing I knew, I was doing it all the time. I was writing all the time. People were getting in touch with me. I came up with the name Caregiver Warrior, and we were just off and running.
That's great. Are you still caregiving for your parents?
I am not. I lost both of them.
Okay. Sorry to hear that.
Within 7 weeks of each other. Thank you so much. Within seven weeks of each other. I mean, they had a bond.
Yeah, they did. Which explains
very interesting time.
Well, and it explains why your dad got so burnt out himself in caring for your mom, that there was such that, you know, interconnection of caregiving, but then burnout and then their own health. So it sounds like you were able to, though, put together some people to help you learn about this role that you kind of fell into, but then took over, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And just to share stories. I mean, you know, I mean, I think we just held each other up. You know, I mean, I was in the beginning, I was doing a lot of commuting because I was in New York and they were in South Jersey where right. I grew up. And I'd be on the highway, you know, I'd be on the, I'd work all week and I'd be on the highway, you know. So I had one friend, Diana, who had taken care of her dad with Alzheimer's. And we would just like, I would just like rant and rave, you mm-hmm. know, and I would just sort of, you know, I did this and oh my God, yeah, I remember that, you know, and just sharing our stories. Was invaluable. I mean, I found that so invaluable, and I just wanted to do it, you know, myself for everyone else. And I, you know, it was a little weird in the beginning because I did not get along with my mom. So, and if anyone who knows me, like I'm pretty a straight shooter. I pretty much say what I mean what I say, and hopefully don't say it mean. And I was a little concerned with some of the content that I was writing, but I got over it, and I found out that people really related to my authenticity, you know, that I was making mistakes all the time and that I was angry and that I was frustrated and that my mom is driving me crazy and I had guilt and, you know, so, I mean, that's the kind of stuff I wanted to talk about because that's what I needed to hear.
That's wonderful. And that's such an excellent point and something that I kind of think about too, and talk about not having any resources to prepare you for it, is the fact that I can't say that my mom and I have the best relationship. So I worry about when that day comes, you know, what is that going to look like? So that's probably a whole nother conversation and something we can do a whole nother, another show on. But I like how you said you found your tribe. And I'm just curious, we probably didn't share, but Kristen and I have adult children with disabilities. So, you know, they were in therapies and groups since they were very little. So a lot of parents, you know, naturally came together and get to know each other. When you're dealing with in a situation where you're caring for an adult, how do you find that tribe?
You know, first of all, you have to be proactive about it. You know, you can't take no for an answer. You have to dig around. I personally was, because of my age, I think, and the age group of my parents, you know, a lot of my friends were just, they were caregivers. I mean, we all sort of fell into it. So, you know, I think just opening up the conversation with people, I mean, but I would talk to people in the grocery store, like I would say, you know, like I was proactive. I was like, I'm taking care of my parents, you know, and they go, I am too. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, just really constantly putting myself out there. Like, you know, like dating, you know what I mean? You just got to keep kind of do it. And I also, my one friend had found the Alzheimer's Association really invaluable when she, in Poughkeepsie, she was taking care of her dad. And they were so good to her. I mean, she would call the one lady and just talk, you know, and they would hook her up with other people and other groups and whatever. So, you know, church groups, I mean, you know, you have to take care of yourself. So you need to find people that understand you.
I love that you're describing being authentic over the vegetable aisle, right? And so, I mean, that's what it takes is, yeah, looking at people and how are you? And well, I'm actually not doing that great. Yeah, I'm taking care of my mom and she's asked me 6 times today where the grapes are, right? And it's like, what can you do except connect with other people who can relate to that? So
I'm more curious about digging into some of your aspects of writing before we have to go to our break, because I'm not a writer and I really admire people that are writers. And you stated that you kind of fell into it because you've been a songwriter, but I'm curious about which aspects of writing do you enjoy the most?
Just letting loose. You know what I mean? Just doing it. And I think that's the greatest gift. I mean, everyone, not everyone does it easily, but I'm really lucky because I do it easily. But there are times when I just write. I mean, sometimes it's not even great stuff. But I find once I get going, all kinds of stuff comes up that I didn't expect to write. Okay. And yeah. Therein lies the joy about it.
I'm sure it's very therapeutic. Or can be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the intro came from your website that we read earlier. It's really interesting how you describe the caregiver as a warrior. And I love that. I actually got a ring that's engraved that says Fearless Warrior on it. So that's right up my alley. But what made you choose that description?
Well, my dad was a warrior, you know, he was in the service, you know, and I mean, just his loyalty and his commitment. And you know, his intensity about it, and he did it from the heart. And I just thought, you know, that's what we do. We go to battle every day. You know, we battle the healthcare system. We battle doctors and nurses. You know, we're battling medical crises. We're battling the pharmacist. I mean, you know, it's a constant challenge, and you really have to lift your sword up. You know, I mean, the strength and the courage that caregivers have to have and come up with on a daily basis, I just think is very, very similar to fighting for freedom.
Oh, interesting parallel. I like that, fighting for freedom. So tell us a little bit more about your dad's background. You mentioned it quickly.
My dad was a bombardier pilot. He was a pilot and flew missions over Germany.
Wow. Okay. So World War II.
Yeah. World War II, shot down, landed the plane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, amazing. He had scars from his ankles to his butt.
Oh, wow. From the plane crashing down.
And my mom took care. Yes. And my mom took care of him.
Oh. That's what I was going to ask. When he came back, did she have to take on that caregiver role?
She took on that role. And she actually said to me, when she lost her first fiance in a flying maneuver, World War II.
Wow.
So she said that they actually fell in love, my mom and dad, over the pain and grief of war.
Wow. I know, me too. Well, and it just makes sense why that's kind of permeating through your storyline and then becomes something that you want to help identify as your role and then for other caregivers as well. Interesting. And so with the caregiver warrior concept, can you speak just a little bit more about how the business came together? We've got about a minute here.
Well, my dad actually was in advertising, so he always told me to get a catchy name, you know?
Uh-huh.
So once I came up with Caregiver Warrior, I'm going to tell you, the universe kind of, you know, took it on. So there we were.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a short break here and come back and hear a little bit more about how the universe has directed you to us. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we've been talking with Suzanne White from The Caregiver Warrior. Her mission is to share caregiving wisdom from someone who's been there, sharing approaches, actions, and attitudes that worked for her and she believes can work for you. Suzanne, before we dig into the meat of your suggestions, because it sounds like from your story, you've got a lot to share, right? But I was wondering, when you are giving your messages, whether it's through your blog or your book or your speaking engagements, excuse me, somebody can't speak here. That's why I'm not doing the speaking engagements, right? But do you divide things as the approach, the action, and the attitude, or do you kind of put it all together in a more general sense when you're giving messages and suggestions?
I think it's a more general approach. However, my whole wheelhouse or my whole take on all of this is self-awareness. In other words, I think self-awareness for the caregiver is really important. In other words, I feel that we have to be very careful about what motivates us and what's going on with us. So any tips or tricks or strategies for me have to come from your mindset. And I think that caregivers need to be really, really careful about what they're going through when they're caring for others. And in my particular case, it was, it was for my family. I had family members, and especially with my mom, and I had her really clock what was happening with me with the baggage and the history I had with her. So my whole take on how are you doing, caregiver, is what are you feeling, caregiver? Mm. And I think then the conversation can go from there. Because, quite often we don't think about what we're thinking about or feeling, even physically, or your shoulders, what's going on with us? It's not something we pay attention to.
That makes sense. And, self-care means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And then we always kind of roll our eyes with the whole bubble bath and go get a manicure and pedicure and that nice stuff. But it doesn't always
it doesn't take you the full mile.
Right. So when you're saying self-care, it's more about going inward in learning how to support yourself and discover yourself in your needs. Am I understanding that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, and you can have the other stuff at your disposal. In other words, my latest book, The Self-Care for Caregivers, has stuff in that about, when you're shopping for Pampers, like adult diapers, or Depends, make a stop at the bath body gel counter for yourself and throw that in the basket. But having said that, you need to know when you need to pull those tools out. In other words, if you're just plowing through and not paying attention to the fact that, you have a splitting headache, or you're nauseous, or, you're up here with your nervous system, you're going to hit the wall. So, I mean, we're all going to have caregiver burnout. It just, stop the caregiver. No, we're all going to have burnout. Do you want to hit the wall at 20 miles an hour, or are you going to hit the wall at 150 miles an hour? That's what I want to discuss. And only if you're self-aware or you're aware of what you're going through, can you then say, whoa, halt, my hungry, angry, lonely, tired, what do I need to do? Do I need to eat something? Do I need to scream in the closet? But be aware, don't wait until it's too late. So my whole thing is really check out, who you are and what's happening.
This is really resonating with me because I'm thinking about some of the times that in caregiving for Nicole. She's my daughter with special needs. She's 21 and has autism, epilepsy, and an intellectual disability. So the complexity turns medical, emotional, cognitive, all this stuff, right? And for a long time, I was running at 150 miles an hour, and I was like this and up, and I did crash into the wall, and it was bad. It was a bad panic attack, and that's so... I don't ever want to be there again. And so I'm so glad that you're describing it as, of course we're going to burn out. Of course we're going to break down, but let's do it at 20 miles per hour, which is where I think I am now with a lot of the work I've done, which has been around exactly what you're talking about. How do I tap into how I'm feeling so that when I do want to scream, I'm not screaming at Nicole while I'm also doing six other things.
And then she, just escalating her, right? I need to go step outside or, you know, wherever I need to go in a closet and just get that out. And I just, I really, really appreciate that, that metaphor, that, that vision. I'm visualizing myself slamming into a wall at 150 miles an hour and now at 20 miles an hour. And I'm like, yeah, that is a little bit more comfortable. So I think I'm going to keep doing this self-awareness stuff.
So is self-awareness the,
yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I just want to say that what I find really interesting is I'm sure you're so aware of her triggers, right?
Yes.
I mean, right? You can spot one of her triggers from like a mile away. I want us to pay attention to our triggers when we can also. You know what I mean? It's like I didn't know what my triggers were, you know, but I knew what my parents' triggers were. You know what I'm saying?
Excellent.
So,
yes.
I mean, yeah.
That is an excellent point. I have a dog that's dog aggressive and she requires long walks. So I am always on the lookout in every direction. You know, where is there a dog? How is this going to go? And never aware of myself, you know, what's going on. And sometimes I will stop and I'm like, oh my gosh, I am panicking. I am stressed walking this dog. I need to dial it back a minute for myself because she can feel that too. But not that we're here to talk about dogs, but in getting the sense then, is that the underlining theme of your book, creating the self-awareness? Or can you tell us a little bit more about the book?
Absolutely. There's four areas of what I consider concerns for caregivers, you know, emotional, spiritual, soul, physical, and even the practical side. So I've come up with 140 tips in those four areas. And it's basically things that I used or that helped me become more aware of myself. And then perhaps when I was really right before I went knee deep into stress, you know, stressors that, you know, things that I could do to soothe myself, you know, everything from, you know, screaming, you know, mm-hmm. in the car, you know, I had a friend who would scream in the car when she was driving home, and that it's great. 'Cause you know, nobody hears you.
Exactly.
You know? Right, exactly. And, you know, just things that we can do to get us back in our bodies and our souls and to really pay attention to our emotions. You know, and again, we're back to triggers with no matter what being it is, we all have triggers, you know, and we all have triggers. Some of them are old triggers. Some of them are trauma triggers from you know, childhood. So we need to figure out what those triggers are, be aware of them, and then, you know, do stuff to go, you know, navigate through them.
Right, exactly. Well, before we go to this break, I do want to encourage people to visit your website to read more about the book that's coming out and the ebook that you offer free. Your website is www.caregiverwarrior.com, and that's where they can also see some examples of your blog and what an amazing writer you are. We'll be right back after this short break to talk more with Suzanne from Caregiver Warrior.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hi, this is J.R. Siewert of Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So please tune in. We look forward to hearing from you and even taking your questions during the show.
That's Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday morning at 10:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
They are our cuddlers and coworkers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there's nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. Whether it's music or anything else, I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows dip down to about 43 overnight under clear skies, winds out of the north around 5 miles per hour. High of 80 tomorrow, mainly sunny. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, lows around 55. Chance for scattered storms Saturday and Sunday. Upper 70s, Saturday, upper 60s by Sunday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 54.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I'm Liza, and I'm here with my co-host, Kristen, and we've been speaking with our guest, Suzanne White, who's been talking about her business Caregiver Warrior and her book that will be releasing soon. Can you tell listeners where they can find the book and when it comes out?
Yes, absolutely. It's Self-Care for Caregivers. It's going to come out September 6th. You can pre-order it from my website now. And I'm very excited about it. And you guys will find this a little bit interesting. They found me. They came to me to write this book, Adams Media. And they found me through Instagram.
Oh, wow.
They were reading my Instagram posts for Caregiver Warrior. And they felt that this is something that they would like to put in a book form. And it's been great. They've been wonderful. September 6th.
Who are they?
It's Adams Media, and they're a division of Simon & Schuster.
Oh, awesome. Congratulations. Well, that's such a good sign of what a good writer you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one has asked me to write a book.
Exactly. None of my posts or comments or quick wit gets me approached.
That's
by
really funny. Well, it's a really good format for me because it's short. You know,
sure.
what I mean? It's like not a tweet. So, you know,
right.
but it's not like a blog.
Right.
You know, which is 300 words. It's sort of like, yeah.
Well,
so
it is
perfect for me. I really love it. Like,
right. As a former songwriter, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like a chorus.
So in this next segment, we like to ask what we call more powerful questions. They're just questions that kind of push you to go inward and reflect on some of your personal experiences and thoughts. So I'm going to start out with my first one, which is I feel that gratitude is such a big part of self-care. What are you grateful for about this experience?
Well, I have a lot of gratitude about this experience. I always say it was the hardest and best thing I ever did. I healed my relationship with my mom. And when I tell you that we did not get along, I'm telling you we did not get along. I mean, we are both really similar. We're both very strong personalities, very big. I take after her so much. And we always had to have the last word. And, you know, it was bad. It was really bad. And as she and the last person in the universe she wanted taking care of her was me. She didn't want anybody taking care of her. She ruled the roost, you know what I mean? So not only did it heal my relationship, but it made me a better me because she wasn't going to change. I had to. So I finally got it. But I had to make some changes in the way I was acting and the way I was living my life.
Well, that's interesting. And it leads maybe into my question, which is about resentment, right? So a lot of times the caregiver has resentment for the person they're taking care of. And it sounds like you even came in with some resentment from the past. Excuse me. So how did you handle that resentment?
It wasn't pretty. Wasn't easy. And I had a lot of resentment. I had a lot of anger. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of work for me to look in the mirror, and really question why I was triggered, why I couldn't forgive, why I was so angry, why I was so scared. I mean, and it wasn't overnight. I mean, I had to really work at it on a daily basis. But I was able to see her. It was a specific time. I came around the corner and had a big calendar, as I'm sure you guys know, a big calendar with the notes in it so everybody can read it and they know where everything is and the appointments. And here was my self-assured, controlling mother looking, you know, pointing to a date, and she just couldn't connect what it was. She couldn't understand what was written there. And the look on her face and the panic in her, it just, you know, and it smacked me, you know, it just hit me so hard. And I said, you know, if this was a stranger, you would be so kind to this person. It's not a stranger, it's your mother. And that opened the door for empathy and compassion for her. And like I said, it wasn't overnight, but it just shifted things for me. And I was able to start to see her as a person and someone I loved. I love her. I loved her dearly. But it just, you know, it was time to let go of all the old crapola.
Yeah.
Like, what was that doing for me? You know, I mean, she didn't care. She was getting dementia. You know, I mean, it was, so I really looked deeply inside of myself and made some changes in my tone of voice. I made changes in what I said to her, how I said it to her, when I said it to her. Did I need to say it to her? I started some new behavior.
I'm curious, was that all just personal self-discovery? And you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. Or did you have support or help along the way, you know, going through those emotions?
Right. And I will always answer and questions. I love questions like these. I'm sober 35 years.
Congratulations.
So I was way sober by that time. Thank you very much. And I'm very much into 12-step programs. And I have been doing work with therapy, and I had an amazing therapist at the time I was caring for my parents. I did everything I possibly could to pile on the self-work. And I have a degree in psychology. I have a BA in psychology. So I'm a big self-help, self-work, spiritual kind of person, and will take the help any way I could get it. And I needed it, you know. You need support, even if it's just somebody you trust to listen to you. It can be that simple. Somebody who will tell you what they really think. Somebody you trust, obviously. But, you know, you can always say, like, how am I doing? Do you see me doing anything?
But what's also resonating with me is that you truly, at that moment, embodied the messages from the 12-step programs, right? So having done some recovery work as an adult child of an alcoholic, I very much try to fall back on the serenity prayer, right? The courage to change the things I can, help me out here.
Serenity.
Right. To accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The wisdom. Exactly. That, oh, I just got truth bumps. Mm-hmm. I call the goosebumps the truth bumps, right? That is where I've really, in my caregiver journey, had to spend a lot of time, is in that wisdom piece. And as I was listening to you describe, I saw the visual of your mom, you know, pointing to the calendar, and then you going from this angry, kind of resentful, compassionate place. And it's that whole, that wisdom of what you have control over and what you don't. Right. And then knowing that you can't control her, you couldn't change her, but what you could change was the way you were receiving her and the way you were interacting with her. So, Suzanne, I mean, that is a big like pat on the back for you that you really, I mean, it's hard to embody that prayer. It's hard to embody the 12 steps and actually put them into action. And so I really say kudos to you.
Yeah. And that kind of goes nicely into my next question is, you know, what are you currently taking the most pride in, either in terms of your care journey, caregiving journey, or your business, or even personal?
That's a wonderful, wonderful question. I'm really proud right now that I'm showing up. I'm on a completely different journey in my life now. There's a lot of big changes. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on for me. And I think showing up, I've made a decision to really show up no matter what. In other words, I think that there have been times in my life where self-centered fear has kept me from being my best self, and kind of had me hide, maybe, or, you know, even with the best intentions. And I don't want to do that anymore. So I'm really proud of the fact that I'm just sort of showing up, you know, because, you know, this work that we do sometimes, because I really believe that anyone that is doing this work, this empowering caregivers in any way, shape, or form, is really so intentional. And I think that, but sometimes it just, you just feel like you're doing it in a black hole, you know, like that you're not helping anyone, or, you know, because caregivers are silent. You know, it's a silent epidemic. They don't really tell you what they're thinking. And so there's times when I feel like, oh, God, why am I doing this? Because, you know, I'm not, you know, and then I'd show up anyway. And then I'll get like a tweet from someone who will say, you know, I just, you know, you don't know me. I just want to tell you, you know, my mom just died. And I just want you to know that if it weren't for you and your weapons of the day and your tweets, I would have never gotten through it.
Wow.
You know? And I'm like, wow. You know what I mean? And so I have, I think it's the self-talk. I think it's how we treat ourselves. I think when I try to be as kind, you know, because I beat myself up all the time. I mean, I'm just as bad now as I was as a caregiver. I mean, you know, I was the most self-critical caregiver in the universe. And I think caregivers do that. So I think as I show up and try to be kind and compassionate to myself first, which is a daily struggle.
Exactly.
Then I think I can maybe help another person. And I think that's kind of what I'm most proud of.
Yeah, and
trying to do that.
It's amazing how much we can get in our own way, you know, and be our own worst enemy, and how doors just open when we do show up and be true to ourselves. So I admire everything you're doing in that aspect. And I'm sure that a lot of the stories that you write about in the blog have that underlining theme as well. And I'm just curious, what are some of your favorite blog posts that you've wrote?
You know, there's one that I did that, you know, about my mom, about how I had to forgive my, I'm not quite sure the title was anymore, but how I had to forgive my old mom, you know, to take care of my new one, you know.
That's beautiful.
That was hard. And that was a hard one because I, you know, there's still part of me that is, you know, doesn't want to not out her. I don't mean it like that, but I mean, but you know, that, you know, maybe I feel bad that I tell the story about how we didn't get along and how mean she could be. But I think it helps people. And I think, and I know, and I'm just getting goosebumps because I know she's really, because I know she's really happy that I'm doing that, that I'm sharing that. I can feel that from them. It's when I write authentically like that, when I'm able to sort of be really honest about myself, even though it's, you know, it's scary to put yourself out there that way. But, you know, I always get the most feedback from caregivers when I'm really honest about, like, how I either screwed up or how much I hated myself when I was doing something or how guilty I felt or, you know what I mean, or how angry I was. I mean, they're the blogs that I feel the best about.
Yeah. Well, I think you do such an excellent job of being authentic. And I think that's why that resonates with people, because sometimes we don't want to tell people, you know, there's so much shame in our culture. So we pretend, and especially like you said, in the caregiver culture, it's we're silent and we don't even necessarily even understand we have this role. So when all of a sudden you're feeling all this negative stuff and you don't have any way to vent it, and you read a blog or you see it, it sounds like you send out tweets or the message. Yes. What was it you said somebody gave you feedback on?
I do a weapon of the day every day.
Ooh, a weapon of the day. Tell us about that for just a moment. What's that?
Yeah, it's a weapon of the day. It's actually whatever I'm struggling with during that day and how I feel we can get out of it. So I can't remember what it's been this morning, but, you know, weapon of the day will be empathy, or the weapon of the day will be self-kindness, or the weapon of the day will be the ones I love are like, be as kind to yourself as you are to those you care for. Today was just show up.
Just show up. And you've done that. You've done a fantastic job showing up on this show. And we've got just a little bit more we want to cover with you when we get back from this short break. Thanks, Suzanne.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You've been listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we've been having a fantastic conversation with Suzanne White about her business, Caregiver Warrior, but also about her own personal journey caring for her parents and other family members. And one of the things she's done in this journey is create a vehicle for her feelings through her writing. She's got a book coming out. She's got a little ebook that you can download from her website, www.caregiverwarrior.com. And she's got a great blog there that I was skimming last night. And then it sounds, I just learned that you do these weapons of the day. And so it's just a great way for us to tap into your experience and your vision. I'm curious about, we were talking about the weapon of the day and we were talking about your blog in general and your favorite article. But the one that caught my eye, and I was like, I want to ask her about that. It was titled, "We Are All Just Walking Each Other Home. Don't Miss the Chance to Talk About It." Would you mind giving us the story behind that post a little bit?
Absolutely, and that's a thank you, because I like that one too. I'm constantly, because I'm not caring for my parents now, but I'm constantly seeing things that trigger me or memories or whatever. And I was walking down the street and I saw, you know, an ambulette. You know, we have them here in New York, the ambulette. So, and a gentleman was being lifted into, he was in a wheelchair and he was being lifted into the ambulette, and the driver, the man, and what I was assuming was his friend or partner or wife or whatever, they were all like chattering, like talking to each other, you know? And I said, oh my God. And it just brought back so many times. At one point I had dueling wheelchairs. I called him. I had my mom and dad both in wheelchairs. You
oh,
know?
Wow.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how I, you know, you do stuff. Yeah. And you're like, how do I do that?
Exactly.
But,
So, you know, and my mom had her own style, and my dad was a chatterbox. I mean, we were just chatterboxes. And just my dad was such a kind, wonderful. I mean, he just loved everybody. They all loved him. And, you know, we would, and I'm like that too. So we were meeting people, and I had so many angels around us. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times people helped us for no reason other than the fact that we just had the kindest, most wonderful angels walking off constantly. I mean, there was always a bad apple in there, but you know, I'm good with them.
Yep.
I could take care of them.
Yep, but, exactly.
You know, it was just wonderful. So I thought, yeah. So I thought, oh, you know, and I love that saying that we're all just walking each other home. And I really believe that. And I think that so often we can get our heads down and we're so stressed, you know, like especially in emergency rooms and in crisis, you know, we're just, that we just forget to like to look up at that nurse, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
or to look up at that aide or, you know, the security guard
yep.
that's like holding the door for my dueling wheelchairs,
right.
you know, like there's so, you know, there's people there. And we're all just trying to do the best we can and walk each other home. And I just want everybody to remember that we all have stories. And so often, you know, you can talk to people and find out about them. And then they become invested in you and you become invested in them. And there's caregiving stories there. Everyone is taking care of someone.
Yes, exactly. And they should be taking care of themselves, right? Like we've just been talking about. So there's a lot of the messages
exactly.
that can resonate. I've not heard.
There's just.
Sorry, go ahead.
No. Just.
I've not heard that.
Yeah, there's just.
Right, there's just so much out there. I've not heard that expression. We are all just walking each other home. Does it come from somewhere?
I believe it's. I should know this, but it's a Zen.
Okay.
It's a Zen or Buddhist.
Got it. And so it's something you've heard or read, and it was resonating with you, and it's this idea. Let me just check in and make sure this is the teacher in me that I understand. That the idea is that because we are all on this planet in this journey of life together, we're really all just walking each other home to whatever home is. And we need to recognize that the people around us are just like us.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
And have wonderful stories and wonderful journeys, you know, and we're on the journey together. So, you know, let's enjoy each other, you know, no matter what it is. Mm-hmm.
And take care of each other.
Absolutely.
I love that. And that kind of leads it nice into, we like to wrap up each show asking our guests, what are three things that you wish all caregivers knew or that you would like to tell all caregivers?
It's really simple. You can't do it alone.
You should see her face right now, listeners.
Yeah.
She's looking at us like that good New York look, like, come on, people. This is basic. You can't do it alone.
You can never do it perfectly. Mm-hmm. No such thing as a perfect anything, especially a caregiver.
Right.
Right? We all have different styles. We all have different ways. And... all at once.
Excellent.
Wonderful. Wonderful words of wisdom. Thank you so much for being with us today. And I encourage all listeners to go to Suzanne's website, caregiverwarrior.com, and pre-order a copy of her book.
It's coming out September 9th, you said?
September 6th.
Okay, great. All right. Well, we plan to invite you back after you've hit the talk show circuit.
Yes.
Once the book's out and released. Right. And we'll be like, we knew her back when, and
yeah.
we'll bring you back on. All right. Thanks so much, Suzanne. You have a great day. We've really enjoyed this conversation.
Thanks, guys.
So, Liza, wow. What was your greatest takeaway from this?
I just love the reoccurring theme of showing up. Is that mm-hmm. how she put it? Or, mm-hmm. you know, just being present.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so easy. To for your mind to go from the past to the future, and skip over
the present,
the now.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. So yeah, that's how you were reading the just showing up. I mean, of course it is. It's saying just show up to the now, to the present. But it's funny. I don't know that I even caught that because I'm not in the now enough. Do you know what I mean? I'm such a future tripper
right.
that I'm like, where are we going? What's next? You know, what am I paying attention to? But yeah, showing up does really mean living in the now.
Yeah. How about you?
That story about her mom and the calendar. And, you know, I took care of my mom and we were very close and we are very similar. We got along, although one of the things that she said to me, I mean, I thought we got along, but one of the things she said to me once when I was back visiting as an adult was, after we'd had a fight, but I to me, fights weren't bad. Fights were like real, and we were getting true emotions out. In a lot of ways, I was pushing my mom to get out of her conventional 1950s, you know, female mindset. And she would encourage me on that. She's like, I learned so much from you, and I'm really impressed by what you get from the University of Wisconsin and all that kind of stuff. But she said to me, oh my God, we could never live together again. And I was like, what? And she said, oh, we fight so much and you drive me crazy. I could never live with you again. And I was like, oh, ouch. Right. Yeah. So there is a piece that had this kind of anger and resentment in our relationship. Uh-huh. And I wish I had heard Suzanne's story or read some of her stuff while I was taking care of my mom, because I did sometimes show up to the old mom, not to the new mom, the vulnerable mom, the one who was sick, the one who was dying, essentially. Yeah. And it took having a conversation with her doctor, her rheumatologist, I think they were called, because she had COPD. And he's like, Kristen, she doesn't need anti-anxiety medication. She's not trying to be difficult. She can't breathe. Her lungs are working at a 40% capacity. Of course she's scared. Of course she's anxious. Of course she's vulnerable. And it was interesting because the doctor had just lost his mom. And so he said, I'm kind of being more of a peer here than a doctor.
Yeah.
But like, let go of the medical stuff and just be there for her and hold her hand. And oh, I'm getting the goosebumps again. And yeah. I was like, oh, of course, of course, of course. This has nothing to do with all of our angst around antidepressants and whether or not there's, you know, mental illness in our family. It's really just about, here is my mom dying and asking for us to just be there and show up.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, and show up.
Show up. All right. Well, wow.
Before we leave, I just want to let everyone know who we have coming up in the weeks to come, because we have some super awesome guests coming. We have Harriet Redmond from Wisconsin Sib Shops that support siblings of people that have siblings with disabilities. And then we have marriage therapist Robin Schnitzler coming in to talk about relationships. And a clinical psychologist, Barry Jacobs, a writer for the AARP, and Roseanne Corcoran from Daughterhood. So stay tuned for some more great shows of the Empowered Caregiver.
This has been a show where we've all been able to show up, and I hope the listeners have gotten that message. We have some great stuff coming up, and we'll look forward to talking with more people with these great conversations.
Yeah, do we have
a
minute left?
Nope.
All right.
We're getting told it's time to wrap it all up. So everybody, take care of yourself and each other, just like Lester Holt says. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life.
That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help?
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
W.